Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I'm your host for this show. This is episode number 181, and we've got another great one for you this week. Topic of the show is an interview with Japanese rock band Alexandros. Why? Because they've been working.
Cool.
They've been working on music for video game Project Judge, to be correct or exact, along with some other cool stuff, you know, geeky related. So really enjoyed talking to them, and that's coming up real soon. But before we get into that, of course, I want to introduce you to the friendly voices around this here digital table. Catherine, how are you?
I'm good. I'm happy because I have dinner plans, and that's the best plans to have.
Agreed. Where are your dinner plans?
Oh, it's true. You're going to Disney.
Dinette Triple Crown, which is a place where it's a fusion of Southern comfort food with a little bit of a French Canadian touch.
It's amazing.
It's ooh, great. Shrimp and grits, maybe?
No, fried chicken.
Okay.
Definitely their fried chicken is thebomb.com. What do they have? They have the
brisket.
They have cornbread. The fried ball of potatoes.
Cheese?
Like the hush puppies.
Yeah.
Hush puppies.
And they have a small like local twist, like they put, instead of using brown sugar, they use a lot of maple syrup and things like that, or so sometimes instead of using like cheese, they'll use cheese curds. It's just really good. It is the best fried chicken, and they have like they have all the collard greens and everything, and it's for little old Canadian like me that hasn't traveled to southern United States yet. It's the closest thing I'll have to having the actual fried chicken.
Oh, I need to go there.
It's,
I miss my southern comfort
insane
food.
It's
good. Pascal was telling me a bit about it when you guys, you went with him, Simon, and you had the brisket.
Nice.
I heard it was good.
You have to.
I'm hungry.
You have to be patient, though, because they are very busy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And how about you, Simon? How's it going?
Going well, thank you. Yeah, doing pretty good. Sorry I missed last week.
That's okay.
Somebody slept in.
It's so funny because you're like, oh, we think there might be an emergency or something. No, I was just fucking down and out. Like, I was just sleeping because I went to bed at like 4 in the morning. Ugh, I've been on a really, really weird sleep schedule lately, so it's my weekend. I'm like, fuck that, getting up. And I just, yeah, so, and you guys tried calling me and everything. I was like, nope, sleeping. So yeah.
How about you, Allie? How you doing?
I'm good. A little sleepy again, which is like my default state when we record the podcast. But no, I'm good. Everything's good over here. I've been mind-numbingly busy over the past week and a half. Constantly in a, you know, go mode, and constantly in a state of stress, which is super good for the body.
Oh yeah.
But no, other than that, everything's good.
Is that why you don't have your webcam on this morning?
Yeah, like honestly, like I today's already off to like a start.
And it's just a thing, is the start.
Yeah, it's already just going super well. So the webcam is off. I'm chugging iced coffee, and we're just gonna cross our fingers and hope for the fucking best.
Well, I hope we can lift your spirits by talking video games for a little while.
I hope so too.
All right. With that, before we get into the games we've been playing this week, I want to remind you, if you enjoy the show, you can subscribe to us. We're on the Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and of course, where we host this, in Podbean. All right, crew. It's time to talk about what games we've been gaming this week. Catherine, still driving?
Still driving. Still doing a bit of Forza Horizon 4. I slowed down a bit. I'm just kind of like playing once or twice a week instead of every day. I jumped back into Origins to mm-hmm. finish the DLCs. I think I'm almost done with the hidden ones. So far, so good. And I'm still playing Overwatch. I stopped mentioning it because it's just a constant.
That's me with Siege.
Constant background noise.
Constant background noise. My lunchtimes with Alice. It's just right now it's the Halloween event, so I'm playing maybe at night to grind for loot boxes that don't give me the skins I want.
Have you gotten any good skins?
From this year?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Nothing.
Not so far.
Wow.
Alice bought like 50 loot boxes and she got all the skins, and I was like, I'm not buying 50 loot boxes.
50 loot boxes. God damn.
Well, I also had a few unpredicted expenditures this month, so I can't afford any loot boxes.
Oh, yeah. So, like a phone?
Yeah, like my Bluetooth headphones dying, and, you know, Triton being bankrupt and me not being able to get replacement parts means I need new. I got new ones, and then I lost my phone. I had to replace that.
But we went to see an awesome concert, though, Kat.
We did.
That's pretty cool.
I am kind of sad that my photos did not sync with the clouds, and they're stuck in my old phone that is somewhere.
No!
Somewhere in the fucking Bell Center, and they can't find it, and I can't ping it because the battery's dead.
Oh, that is so fucking horrible.
I wonder if they'll find it and then call you. Did you tell them? Because your phone is pretty, like, with the phone loop strap on it and everything, pretty recognizable.
Well, the security guard that was there looked like he was there often. So I think once they get it, he'll be like, oh, shit, it's that girl. But I didn't leave him any contacts for him to call me.
Oh.
But, I mean, at that point.
You already got the new phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new Huawei, like, right? I spent 48 hours without a phone. I think that was enough.
How do you live?
I don't know.
For a work week, it's okay because at night I'm here. During the day, I'm at work, and you know I can have and you know they don't block Facebook Messenger or things like that, so I could have it in a tab closed and like check it once or twice a couple of times a day to make sure that nobody. And I told everybody, if you need to contact me, like use Facebook Messenger. I'll have it open or email or things like that. Like I can check my personal stuff at work. So
smoke signals or
telegraph.
That's what we were getting, smoke signals.
Yeah, I have the kind of job where I'm just at my computer, like going through tasks. So you know I can finish the task anyway. So I wasn't disconnected and things like that. And if something really bad happened, like my family knows to call directly at work and ask reception for me. And they transfer a call, you know, because I don't even have like an extension at work. Like, I don't even have a way of calling. I had to borrow.
You don't have a phone at your desk?
No, we use VoIP.
Ah, okay.
But I just borrowed my colleague's phone to call the Bell Center and ask if they found my phone.
Mm. Okay.
Anyway, that was a thing. Buying loot boxes. End of story.
Yeah. How about you, Allie? What you been playing?
I've actually been kind of all over the place, and I have some surprising titles. So, I mean, I've obviously been playing Forza.
Ali's a bro now.
I've been playing Forza. I've been enjoying that.
Can I just mention, there's been a few moments this past week or over the past few weeks where you definitely have stepped out of your comfort zone or gone towards games that you don't usually, and it feels like you're really enjoying that.
Well, so I played Forza 3 and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I guess I just wasn't as vocal about it. So Forza 4 was obviously a given. I played that, I streamed it, and enjoyed the heck out of it. I mean, I'm going to keep playing it in the background, but there's a lot of other games coming out at the moment. So, you know, I was juggling with that. I ended up picking up Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Which is what you are talking about.
Yeah.
That was peer pressure. from your friends Jen and Sam.
Oh, good.
That was totally peer pressure. But no, I've really been craving it's been ages since I've played like a pure competitive FPS. And obviously there's Siege, which is interesting and stuff like that. But I wanted more of, and I'm gonna get reamed for this, but I wanted more of like a Halo experience.
Okay.
You know, I wanted different game types. I wanted, you know, stuff like that. So I decided to pick up Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And holy shit, I'm actually really enjoying myself.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. I've been dabbling in pretty much all of the game modes except for zombies because the zombies move too fast and they scare me. They're so quick. But no, I mean, I've been playing a hefty dose of multiplayer and Blackout.
Yeah,
and
are you liking
Blackout is really good.
I played the beta and I was super impressed. Really
That's
impressed.
What I've been hearing is nothing about been good with Blackout. Like, Blackout is, everybody's surprised.
Yeah, so basically the best way I can describe it is Blackout is the game. It's like Blackout is the game that PUBG is a Chinese knockoff of.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow,
that's
really?
Exactly
wow.
What it is.
That deep. Okay. Yeah. Like, that's, I'll take it there right now.
Yep.
Obviously, there's, like, a few, like, netcode issues and stuff like that, which I'm sure can be remedied as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual gameplay is so much smoother. It's so much prettier. It's just so much more fun.
It's not, like, it doesn't feel clunky like PUBG does. Like, it feels very smooth. Like, the movement,
like, the user experience
fluid.
Of, like, dropping in, picking up loot, customizing your weapons is just so much smoother. Because, like, when you're fumbling with your inventory in PUBG, it's just so frustrating. And, like you said, it's so clunky.
Yeah.
And it's just unpleasant. And in this one, it's just, like, literally, it's just, like, press X. If you come across, you know, it's something you want to equip, just why? You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm playing on Xbox. But it's just, it's been a lot of fun. I'm getting really into Kill Confirmed and multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like, that's a Destiny mode. Supremacy.
Like, I mean, all the game modes in Call of Duty and every other FPS kind of mimic each other. So you have, like, you know, you have, like, a control game type. You've got, you know. I'm having so much fun with it. The game is beautiful. I played it literally at launch, like 11 p.m. Central when the servers went live. My friends and I jumped in, had no issues.
Nice.
No queues, no server drops, no lag. It was just an absolutely amazing experience. And for someone who hasn't played a Call of Duty since Call of Duty Ghosts, and that was just the campaign, it was a really good first impression.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a slew of questions for you now. First off, let's stick with the blackout mode. Do you think, like, obviously Fortnite is not going to get, it's going to take a little bit of a hit, but I don't think it's going to take a big hit because it's a free game and this is a game you have to pay for. You talking about PUBG, do you think PUBG is going to take a hit now because this mode is technically better?
I think so. I mean, I think there's always going to be diehard PUBG fans for some reason. I've been trying to be supportive of PUBG, but their full release, and I say that, like, in quotes, has been such a disaster, and it's still such a just an unpleasant game to play. It really does feel like a knockoff at this point. Like, having experienced Blackout, PUBG feels like a knockoff.
It's funny because I feel like PUBG now became the model, became this trend, really put a stamp in the ground when it comes to this is the mode that is Battle Royale, but then everything that has come after it looked at PUBG, found out what it was doing wrong, and improved on it.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm saying that, it's just they're too slow. They're too slow to fix issues. They're too slow to add new things. And I would not be surprised if we saw PUBG, like, wither within the next year or two.
That's reminds what I'm me fully little expecting.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of back when DayZ was the shit, you know? And
Then,
you know, DayZ, and it was amazing. And then everyone started to do DayZ clones, and then eventually people starting to make better games than DayZ, and then DayZ just died because they couldn't update it, they couldn't do it, they couldn't keep up with all the other big companies. So I feel like that's the same thing. PUBG kind of opened up the way for Battle Royale, and then better companies with, you know, better resources and smarter people are going to make it much better. But I think Blackout is just the first step in that direction.
Yeah, I don't want to kind of speculate on the numbers, but because I have a funny feeling it can go either way with Blackout. Like, it's either going to blow PUBG out of the water and Fortnite for a little bit. Fortnite's always going to end up on top, though, because, like you said,
yeah,
there's, like, no barrier to entry. It's accessible to literally hundreds of thousands of smaller children on mm-hmm. every platform.
Yeah.
And they don't need to bug their parents about downloading or buying it for them.
I just think that a lot of people would have bought PUBG, not PUBG, a COD anyway, because, you know, every year the game comes out and it does gangbusters, even though often, you know, we're like, oh, another Call of Duty. But the thing is it seems like they've figured out the secret sauce in this version of a Battle Royale mm-hmm. mode, which is really cool, almost giving the game new life. And the fact that they don't have a proper story mode. Allie, did you find that weird? Are you missing the fact that there's no story mode? I know there are little segments in multiplayer that are one you play on your own so that you know, get some backstory, but are you missing story mode, or do you even care?
In my instance, I don't really care because, like I said, the last time I played a Call of Duty campaign was Call of Duty Ghosts. Mm-hmm. So that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I really don't care. But I know some people are still really hung up on that. And, you know, change is scary. Mm-hmm. Change is scary. And, you know, people are saying, oh, I'm not going to pay full price for a game that's only online components or multiplayer components, I guess. I don't even know if the game can be... I guess the game can be played offline with bots?
Yeah, have
if you really want. I don't know why anyone would do that, but yeah. I guess it can be done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't really feel like it's any great loss. I think there's a lot of content in there. The zombies content, there's a lot going on.
Mm.
I did not realize how in-depth that was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to jump into that later this week because I accidentally skipped the tutorial. So I kind of need to go back and take a deeper look at that. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I'm super happy with it so far. I don't regret spending the money. And, you know, I was looking for a game that I could play with my friends. And this has been a really good fit for us so far.
Mm, nice.
You can play, and I just saw it because, you know, the reviews are coming out and the reviews are really good. And one of the things that came out that really, really surprised me is you can play Blackout couch co-op split screen.
Yes, you can.
So, like, you can be two people, like, playing co-op together split screen on this. And I was like, wow, that is fucking cool.
Yeah, it feels really like retro awesome. Gaming now, eh?
That is very cool. Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
It's weird to think of a battle royale game in couch co-op.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like...
You really need to make that cardboard in the middle of the TV like
no,
that
no,
old
no, but
meme.
If you duos,
no, it's Blackout, so it's duos.
You play together.
Oh, good, okay.
Yeah, so it's the team. That's really neat. But yeah, no, I saw that. So yeah, other than Call of Duty, I've been obsessed with MapleStory 2.
Ooh, nice.
That just came out. That is literally keeping me up for hours at night.
I played the beta of that. What are you thinking so far?
Well, I've been part of the early access,
mm-hmm.
the paid early access for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And the game just launched on the 10th. So 3 days ago, it fully launched free to play. And I'm just having a freaking hell of a time. Like, I actually canceled my World of Warcraft subscription to focus my time on MapleStory.
What kind of a game is it? I've heard about it, but I never
really
looked
at it. Well, are you familiar with MapleStory at all?
No.
This is the third iteration of the game. There's the original MapleStory, then there's MapleStory Mobile, and now MapleStory 2. And it's an MMO. It's a 3D isometric adventure MMO. It's a mix of fantasy and sci-fi. It's made by Nexon.
Okay.
So they've got a bunch of different titles under their belt.
I'm glad I know now that you're into that because they email me a fair amount. So, yay!
yeah, definitely. I've been absolutely obsessed.
Great.
When I was up until 6 o'clock this morning.
That's why.
It's because of MapleStory 2. I was grinding to get me some ducky mounts. So... so no, I've been having a lot of fun with I've been busy. I've actually been busy gaming for once. It's been a long time for me where I've had multiple titles holding my attention and been like genuinely excited to like boot up my Xbox or boot up my laptop and play. So it's been nice.
Is that how you're playing MapleStory?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, MapleStory is PC.
Yeah.
So
that's really cool. How about you, Simon? What are you playing?
Forza. I got the Xbox Game Pass. since, you know, it's $10
You're
per month.
You're welcome.
And Forza is a Play Anywhere title, so that's the main reason. I didn't want to pay full price. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like it yet, so I don't want to pay, like, $80. So I'm just going to get the, you know, because I got a 14-day trial, so I'm going to go with that and then see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And I've been having a lot of fun. It's really cool. It's, you know, reading Catherine and even Ali's, you know, thoughts on the subject, and it's true. It's really, like, it's almost like an RPG disguised as a car game. So, and, you know, I like cars, like it or not, and I like RPGs, so... I've been having a lot of fun playing Forza.
Did you get really, your really car? Fun. Is that what I saw?
Yeah. Nice. Well, I have, it's not exactly the same model, because for people who know car, I drive a Subaru WRX. They don't have, they have the STI in Forza. So I just, it's the same-ish model, just like different motor and stuff. But yeah, I put like the same rims, I put the same color and everything. It's like, yeah, look at that. It's my car.
It's just missing your ghost sticker in the
back. It's true. Yeah, I'm sure I can find a ghost sticker somewhere.
Oh,
on
yeah,
the Forza
on the vinyl
store.
Marketplace.
Yeah, I'm sure I can find a ghost somewhere in there.
You can ask Adam; he'll make one for you.
Awesome, I will. Yeah, nice. and I'm in the 8-bit game
brigade
clan thingy. Yeah. I don't know what it's called.
I joined too.
Yay. Nice.
Yay!
Yes. I was actually thinking
join
about
my
getting...
cult.
I was actually thinking about getting Game Pass because Michael obviously wants to play Forza, and glad I know that because I'll add both of us in.
I've been having a lot of fun playing Forza. It's really cool. And in a surprising twist, I started playing a MOBA. I started playing Heroes of the Storm. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
It's fun, eh?
It's really fun, and it's not super complicated, as in, like, I feel like it's... As an entry-level MOBA, it's probably the best one. And I even got 2 MVPs so far. I'm really happy about it. And it's difficult because it's completely new. It's a new genre for me. I've never really played a MOBA. So, you know, an FPS I jump into and I can, you know, understand the mechanics and everything. But this is completely new to me. So it's been fun. Yeah, I'm having a good time playing a MOBA, which is something that I never thought I would say. And Destiny and Siege and all those staple of my gaming life.
Nice. I'm still playing Forager. Beta 6.2 is out, so I'm playing through that, and that's pretty close to the final game, so I'm pretty stoked about that. The only thing is that means I restart my character all over again, but hey, that's all right. And last night I started getting ready to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but I got distracted real quick by Nashville, because I'm watching Nashville, and my husband's like, let's watch a show, and of course Friday nights I'm always exhausted. But what I did do very first was got in there, opened the game, went to the shop, and bought the XP boost, because I have a feeling I'm not going to get through this game very quick or fast enough before Red Dead comes out. Mm. So I'm going to try and power through this weekend, next weekend in preparation, because I did book off the October 26th from work.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. Those are my favorite kind of holidays.
Exactly. But since I actually have no gameplay time in yet, and something that I think I missed to ask Ali,
yes.
I know that they have the thing happening in the States. We don't get to benefit from this in Canada because it's only happening in the US, but they're trying to do streaming of Assassin's Creed Odyssey by Google through Chrome. And Ali, yeah. It sounds like you and Adam got access to that.
Yes, we did.
Cool.
So that has, I haven't spent a whole lot of time with it. My husband spent more time with it. Mm-hmm. But I was a little bit blown away. He grabbed my laptop and he just went into Chrome. There was a few keystrokes. Then all of a sudden Assassin's Creed was on my laptop.
Wow.
And I was like, wait a second.
Hold up.
it kind of blew my mind. And I was like, okay. So he loaded into the game and wow. Yeah. Obviously, there's some latency.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help that our Wi-Fi in like where we were in the basement isn't the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But holy crap. It was, I mean, we didn't play for super long, so we were actually on our way out. But this is going to be a game changer.
Is it?
I mean, I think so.
In what sense?
It was just so easy. It was so easy just to go to Chrome. Mm-hmm. Like, this is literally a bookmark. Like, you could set up Chrome, have a bookmark, and just be ready to go. Mm. And in whatever title you want.
It takes, like, it streams from where? From your Xbox? From your...
No, it streams from Google service.
Oh.
Yeah.
In this instance, it streams from Google service, but it's literally, like, I don't own the game.
Oh.
It's all coming from Google.
So I've done the PlayStation, like, with the last Assassin's Creed game, Origins, I tried the whole stream it from my PlayStation to my PC, because in the back room here, sometimes it's occupied because Michael and the boys are recording podcast. So when I was playing that game, I tried the whole stream from the PlayStation to my computer, and it worked, but I don't know if maybe it was my Wi-Fi, because my PlayStation is connected Wi-Fi, not hardwired cable. And the same thing with my Mac when I was doing it. Because of the reaction time that I needed to play Assassin's Creed, I found that it was a little too slow for me to be able to really get into the game. Because I was planning on just, like, going around and collecting stuff. Yeah. But even at that, if you ever got into, like, a spot where you had to fight, I found it slow. Now, mind you, that could be my Wi-Fi. Like, there's so many different factors in that. But that's kind of what I was expecting to start hearing from this Google, you know, foray into streaming. But it sounds like the performance is better than even me being connected within my own home network. And it's not even like it's connected locally. It's connected from servers of Google, which is really cool.
Yeah. So I've also dabbled with the, you know, Xbox streaming to PC in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. It was cool. But, you know, I was desktop bound for a long time. And because my Xbox is literally right next to my desktop, didn't really make much sense for me to use that. But, yeah, I mean, I'd have to spend a lot more time with this Google beta to get, you know, a better sense. But my initial impressions were good, just based on how quickly the whole game was at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
That alone was impressive. Because, I mean, Odyssey isn't a small game.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? And it's a very graphic-intensive game. Mm-hmm. And it looked beautiful. Like I said, there was a little bit of latency, especially the beginning of the game is like a huge fight scene. So there was a lot going on the screen at one time. So there's a little bit of latency. But yeah, I'll definitely come back with some more feelings and opinions once Adam spent more time with it.
Great. Well, I know we've got topics around this because some of the news is really, really close to this idea of streaming games, all this kind of stuff. So I think it's time for us to get into news of the week. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. And we're back with the news. Where do we want to start? Do we want to continue this conversation about streaming games? I think it's because we're on topic. We kind of need to. So, Allie, you wanna fill us in on all the news on that this week?
Yeah. So, Microsoft went ahead and announced Project X Cloud, which obviously this followed hot on the heels of Google's announcement. And basically, it's very similar to the Google model, where we're going to be using Microsoft's Azure to set up data centers.
Oh God, I feel like I'm at work.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So yeah, they're gonna be setting up data centers, and you'll be able to stream video games via Project X Cloud, which will bring console quality games to your PC and your smartphone using this technology, and you'll be able to use your gamepad that are connected to those, you know, supported devices. And you'll be able to play your entire library of Xbox games on your laptops, on your desktops, if they're in a different room than your console, and on your phone, which I'm just kind of totally, totally there for that. Even more so than Google, because I'm primarily an Xbox person.
Mm-hmm.
All of my content, all of my titles are on Xbox. So I don't need to worry about buying games twice if I want to stream them to my phone or my laptop with this. And so there's going to be apparently public trials rolling out in 2019, and Microsoft hit a girl up. Just throwing that out there. I don't know if this is anywhere close to the quality of what I've experienced with Google so far. Like I said, I'm totally there. I'm totally there for that.
Cool.
This just makes the Game Pass, the Xbox Game Pass, even more valuable.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, it really does. And it's interesting because obviously we talked about the rumor next console Scarlet. And all that stuff, and it looks like it's not going up to be the stream box for this. So it's very interesting to see all these different companies right now moving to streaming. Now, I know it's not going to be immediate. We know we saw news about PlayStation and the PS5 being an actual thing and then saying, yes, we're building a PlayStation 5. An actual console. But this is like the moment where I feel we have needed to get to, because we didn't know what the future of gaming was going to be. What's the reason to buy the next console? What's the next big game-changing moment? We're on the cusp of it, and it's really interesting.
Well, Microsoft's been saying for a while now that, you know, the future of gaming will be that you don't need to have a home console to play any game you want. You can play the game you're going to want to play on any device that you already own anyway. So that is definitely the future of gaming, and it's something that we've already touched on. And it's really cool to see Microsoft being kind of, you know, at the forefront with Google in setting up that kind of gaming future. So I'm really excited to see what's going to come out. It's going to come out of that.
Microsoft, you know, since their last E3 press conference, and even before that, they've been, you know, talking about the whole ecosystem of their games and services. Mm-hmm. And this is really the next step. And like you said, Leah, when you factor in Game Pass and you factor in games with gold, it's just the value of the products you're buying on Xbox is just going up.
And meanwhile, there's rumors of PlayStation working on the PlayStation 5 and Nintendo announcing maybe another Nintendo Switch. And I'm like, why?
I don't think that there's not a place for those.
No, there's
definitely I do think we're not going to be able to stream 4K, 60 SPF. There's certain SPF. Things that we're not going to do. FPS. Yeah, there you go. There's another Leah-ism. And I still want to buy the newest console. Do you know what I mean? Like, I still have that thing where I like the box. I like having the power. I like the thing that sits there on my table. I know it works, you know? But the freedom that this kind of stuff is going to give us as gamers, especially those of us that travel a lot, it's really interesting, and I think we need to put a pin in this because this is going to be one of the trends, like the 2018 trends that we talk about, because this is just going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be like an ongoing conversation that we're having for the next little while, because like this is the next step.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, we're getting close to a console-less world.
I think it's choice. I think you're not total console-less, but you have the choice. You can either buy the console if you want to for the premium experience, or you can play at other places. So it's more ubiquitous rather than...
it's like it's really an ecosystem. It's you know, if you wanna live in that part of the ecosystem, you can. If you want to move around the ecosystem, you can. Because, I mean, there's going to be people who don't... It's like people who still buy physical games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's going to be people who don't want to... And I don't mean that in a bad way.
I don't know.
It's just, you know, people have their reasons, and they'll have their reasons for playing directly on console versus streaming it to their phone while they're on the pooper.
We talked about this a lot, too, like off podcast, like conversations about, like, you know, the idea of having something everywhere so that you don't need to steal it. Like, music went through that big, thing in the early 2000s and stuff with Napster. And, like, as soon as you make it easy to get access to something to be able to consume it, you're more likely to pay for it.
Yeah.
So the more choices out there of how you can consume something but still consume what you want to consume, that's where it gets super lucrative for companies, because they're going to end up with less chances of people stealing it and more likely they're going to pay to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're lazy.
Yeah. I mean, but like, play to the lazy. Play to the lazy. Because if I am that lazy that I'm willing to go and just say, oh, wait, it's right there, I'll start playing. Oh my God, it's right there. Instead of me trying to hunt it down because I don't want to spend all the money, especially if it has the right price point, like something like Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
It's too easy not to.
Mm-hmm.
We're willing to pay for convenience and choice.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally. All right, Kat, I know you've been playing a lot of Forza. We talked about that a little bit. So what news you got around the wonderful driving game?
Well, the UK gaming charts came out, and Forza Horizon 4 is the fastest selling in the series.
Nice.
In the UK, which is nice because it's a game that's made by a UK studio.
Mm-hmm.
Forza Horizon 4 is set in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a quote from Xbox UK director Harvey Eagle. He says, "We're thrilled that Forza Horizon 4 has been so well received by gamers across the UK. Set in beautiful, historic Britain and made by British studio Playground Games, Forza Horizon 4 is the fastest ever selling game of the Forza Horizon series in the UK, cool. according to the latest GFK data. We're also seeing a huge uplift in Xbox Game Pass subscription."
Hello.
"And engagement. These achievements are a testament to the craft and ambition of the latest release of the Forza franchise, the world's biggest racing IP, blah, 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 corporate." So it's great news. I'm just happy to see a game that was made by a UK studio about the UK doing so well in the UK. It shows that, like, you know, when they say representation matters, I know, like, I don't want to circumvent the whole diversity thing, but when you see something that you know and you love in a game,
mm-hmm.
It's great, mm-hmm. you know? It's like Ubisoft and Montreal that make all these games across everywhere in the world. And I would love to see, actually, now it makes me want to Google to see how Greeks are receiving Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
It's true, yeah.
I remember that with Assassin's Creed Rogue, where they went north and they, you know, floated down the Saint Laurent River, and I was just like, this is cool. And you just have that personal connection that I never really felt before with a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you're like, oh, this is my home.
Or yeah,
a lot. Yeah, Assassin's Creed 3 got a lot of flack. They say it wasn't all the great, but I love the setting of Boston and all that jazz, because it's like stuff that I was familiar with, and it just felt like home. It was nice to play something that feels like home.
Aww. Nice. Great.
I like that sentiment.
Yeah, it's a nice one. It gives you all the feels, right?
Yeah.
So much feels.
People, if you want to make games about your area, do it.
Well, it's just like when, you know, when I was playing Deus Ex and there's a fucking level in the Olympic Stadium. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and like, remember with Watch Dogs 2?
Yeah.
People flipped their shit about that because it was just so real. I mean, Spider-Man recently with New York. It's awesome.
All right. Speaking about those feels, I got the feels. You want to know why? It's official. Uh-huh. I can change my PSN name in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! Ooh! I know we talked about the rumors of this last week. I talked about it on the radio last week, which was really funny because, of course, the guys from TSN were all like spitting out like random bad names, like Smoke-A-Doob 420. Now you can change your name. Though maybe people don't really care about that come the 17th of October here in Canada, since weed's going to be legal.
Yeah.
But yes. So what's interesting about this is that how we're starting to get enlightened on how freaking complicated and how poorly forward thinking the PlayStation folks were when they initially set up the PSN.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you kind of like the Coles notes of it, we're going to be able to change our PSN names. It's going to be similar to how Xbox does it, where the first PSN name change is free. Anyone after that will cost a certain amount of money. Obviously, not really sure what it's going to cost in Canada yet. But you can change your name, but it might not necessarily change your name in everybody and every other game, all the old games. They said from April 2018, the games that were put out, the name change will take, and then all the ones after that. But if you have a game before that, it's limited whether or not you're going to see your new name or your old name.
It's hard-coded in the game, per se.
So, yeah. So if you are not a tech head, usually what happens when people make... when systems are made to be able to do IDs is that people get a number value that is almost like that's the association to your account. And then all name changes and other IDs are values attached to that one number. But here's the thing. When PlayStation did it, it sounds like they made your name that number instead. So that's why this has become so complicated, because... it's not like they added this vanity section on top that people, that the systems would reference with the vanity name instead of the, you know, ID that they associate your name to. So technically, my understanding is in the back end of PlayStation, I'll still be AYU5656, but vanity for any games that I play after, that came out after April 2018, will have my new name on it. But then if I go back, I'm still always associated to that value later on. So and they also are stating that they're not really sure how this is going to pan out. Will this cause bugs? Will this? They don't know. And they're being really clear about that, which I think is pretty interesting, because obviously we've bitched and complained for years saying, like, why can't I just change my name? Now we're understanding why. So there's going to be a beta phase with this, and then they'll roll it out in full. I think the folks that sign up for the beta that are probably, that are part of the PlayStation system for early access to stuff as testers, people might be running the risk here, and you really might actually need to be careful and decide whether you really want to jump into the beta of this, because it could really screw up your ID. But I at least it's forward thinking, and it's coming, and it, but I think it's going to take a little while to really get all the kinks ironed out, and your old name is always going to come back to haunt you in some form if you plan on playing old games.
And anyway, you're going to do it so you can test for everybody, so you can fuck up your shit, so
I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to do it. I'm not part of the preview program of the PlayStation stuff. I am on the Xbox. I am definitely looking forward to changing my name. Luckily, I don't have a really terrible name. I'm not one of those 420 folks or some random sexual innuendo or something.
It's in French, so French listeners who know François Perreux will know what it is. But one of my friends' PSN name is Rita Chabot-Sus. And, like, it's really extremely French-Canadian. And only if you know, like, François Perreux, and he's like, I fucking hate this. He's like, I made it when I was, like, in high school. So, like, whatever, like, you know, he wants to add, Catherine's dying, whatever, like, he wants to add someone on PSN, like, what's your PSN? It's Rita Chabot-Sus. So, like, oh, that's cool.
He regrets it
immensely.
I'm one of those people that made their PSN ID when I was in high school. It's based off a Japanese pop singer that I liked at the time. It has no relationship to any of my current online identities. Uh-huh. So I'm really happy that this is coming.
Same.
But yeah, obviously really intrigued too to see how a mistake or a thought process back in the early 2000s or maybe even late 1990s
has
really messed up their system.
Yeah. That's crazy.
People will never want to change this. What are you talking about?
Yeah. People's tastes never change. They stay the same throughout the whole life. What are you talking about?
Social media and internet will never take off.
Yeah, those same people.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up the news for this week. It's time to get in topic of the show. We've got an interview with the band Alexandros talking about all the new stuff they're working on, especially how it relates to video games and anime. So let's do that right after this break. Mm-hmm. Yuhei, Hiro, Masakai, and Sato from the band Alexandros. How you doing, guys?
We're good. We're good.
Awesome. I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm really excited to have you on the GOG cast. We're huge, huge J-pop and J-rock fans here in Canada.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
So you guys, along with your very extensive music career, have now delved into video games.
Yeah.
Must be super exciting to work on this new upcoming game for PlayStation, Project Judge.
So excited, yeah. And we are all overwhelmed, and we're also all excited.
So how did that come to be?
I think the producer, Mr. Nagoshi, I think he was a fan of us. Mm-hmm. And so I think he decided to...
Really?
Did you just say that? Yeah, I guess so.
All right, well, yeah.
He likes rock and roll music, and he likes to support Japanese artists.
Yeah.
So that's what he told me.
Yeah, and plus, there's this person who works with him, mm-hmm. with the producer, and he knew about the band Alexandros, and Mr. Nagoshi was looking for a band who could, do a theme song for his game. And that guy introduced us to him, and that's how he became to know about us, and he liked us, so yeah. That's how he offered us.
That's really cool. And so you've got two songs right now involved in the game, Arpeggio and Your Song. Did those songs come directly from the story of the game as inspiration, or did they come from somewhere else?
Arpeggio, when I saw the trailer, and it was 80% done.
Okay.
Then we went to New Jersey for recording. Mm-hmm. And the trailer was running through my head in New Jersey. And the game itself is in Tokyo. So it was it was really hard for me to imagine the city of Tokyo while I'm in New Jersey. Yeah, but it was fun. And so when I was doing some arrangements for Arpeggio, I had this view of this city. The town in Project Judge, it's the motto city is Shinjuku, for Batman, New York, Gotham City is New York. Mm-hmm. So there's a city called Shinjuku in Tokyo, and I was thinking of that city, Shinjuku, and I was writing that song. And for your song, I wasn't really thinking too much about about the game. I was thinking about the character.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was looking at the character and when I listen what he has in his mind and everything from Mr. Nagoshi, mm-hmm. and something came, popped into my head. And that's how it began.
Wow, that's great. It's pretty interesting to hear that your inspirations come from two totally different spaces. One that's more of a city, and then the other one that's more of a person.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that normal how the songs are developed for you guys outside of writing for a video game?
Well, and Mr. Nagoshi never, told us, I want this kind of song in the game. So we were kind of free to produce any kind of songs. But I heard that your song would be in the end of the song, the end credit at the end will. So I thought that song should be more personal, mm-hmm. and a slow ballad or something. So that's how it came.
Nice. Are you guys big video game fans? Are you gamers yourselves?
Yes.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah? All right, what do you play?
I play many of the Sega games. My favorite game is Sonic Hedgehog 3.
Nice.
And I love Mega Man series of Mega Man.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I love Virtua Fighter and Virtua, so many.
Awesome. So have you guys ever thought about writing a full score for a video game instead of just individual songs?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. What kind of game would you like to write music for?
Zelda.
Oh, yes! That would be awesome.
I didn't even know that.
Did you play the new game, Breath of the Wild?
You know what? Not yet.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
I know. It's so good. I can do it.
Luckily, it's one you can take with you, so you're good.
Exactly. I love your chair, by the way. It looks like chair four games, you know?
Thank you.
She's got a guitar over there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's my husband's stuff. My husband plays music.
Oh, okay.
Music. Often, I use video games for music discovery. I found a lot of bands that I didn't know about through video games. Have you guys ever done that?
Yeah, of course.
Besides your own stuff? Yeah? Yeah?
You know, to be honest, I'm not that much of a gamer.
That's okay.
But I hear these guys singing the melodies of all these old games from like 90s. So definitely, yes, I guess.
Do you guys think it's a good way to introduce gamers, folks that wouldn't necessarily listen to your music to you guys, to get you guys, get them into you? Yeah?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, like, you know, it's like almost our first time, exporting our song outside Japan. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, because like, you know, we only like had this chance to like sell our CDs in Japan only. And now we have like our songs on the game. So like you guys can hear it, listen to it. So we were kind of, you know, we're so like excited to be in that kind of occasion, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great way to get people introduced to you guys and other artists as well that they might not know. I know as well that it's not just video games that you guys have been tied to. You're also tied to the new Netflix movie Bleach, which I just finished. And your guys' tracks in it are like awesome. Like they fit right in. That had to be really fun to get involved in that. How did it happen?
I mean, you know, anime and games are like two biggest contents that Japan has, that has the biggest influence. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being involved with those contents are really like, I don't know, it's an honor, you know?
Was Mosquito Bite and Milk written specifically for Bleach, or did you already have them in your arsenal before that?
For Mosquito Bite, yes. When the director said, you know, I want this kind of song, okay, fine, then we made this song. But for Milk, mm-hmm. we already had that as a demo tape. And we, you know, we played that demo after we watched the film. Mm-hmm. From the director, Mr. Sato. And he said, wow, this is cool. Okay, I'm going to use this. And then I started playing.
Oh, that's awesome. Because like it does fit in extremely well with the feel of the film and with I noticed, because I know the anime really well too, yes, exactly, that fight sequence that Milk is in, I was like, oh yeah, this is right on the money. That had to be really exciting to see that for the first time for you guys too.
Thank you, great to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I love the riff in Mosquito Bite in the beginning has so much it's almost like your heart replaces your heartbeat and fits really well with the themes that you hear from Bleach itself, that you hear from that were taken from the anime and put into the film. Mm-hmm. Was that intentional as well? To like, did you guys listen to anything that you knew was coming from the original anime or something to get inspired?
Actually, not really.
Not really?
No. Yeah, I was just concentrating on the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that, like I said, the beginning of that is so empowering. I really, really like it. So good job. I think that's going to do well here in North America.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Because we made it in Brooklyn. We made this song in Brooklyn. So.
Oh, yeah?
It does, yeah.
That must be cool, touring around the world to get to go and write.
Exactly. I love it.
Have you ever been to Canada?
I mean, I've been to Toronto once when I was a kid.
Nice. Well, you guys are going to have to come play a show in Toronto or Montreal.
Hopefully soon, if you invite me, we are.
So do you guys think that, obviously, having your music in Bleach, having your music in stuff with video games like Project Judge, do you think this is going to help you cross over into the North American market?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, like, yeah, I hope.
I mean, yeah.
It's going to be, like, a good chance.
Yeah, we think so, and we have to make that happen, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're ready for you guys to come over and play for us, for sure, for sure. So what's next for you guys? Are you on tour? Do you have more work with special projects like this that you're doing? What's going on?
We're going on U.S. tour next week.
Oh, nice.
This will be our first tour in the States, and we're looking forward to it. And we're going to launch another album in November and start touring in December.
Oh, you are busy.
Oh, yeah. Our next vacation is going to be next June or something.
That's okay. No sleep for the wicked, right? All right, guys. Well, I got to say, I'm super appreciative of you guys taking the time to speak with me. We're huge fans of music and everything that comes out of Japan. You guys are great. And yeah, much, much appreciated for chatting with me. Domo arigato. I get to practice my Japanese.
Thank you so much. Hopefully see you soon.
Yes. Yes. Come to Canada and play.
Well, yeah, we will.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
And that pretty much closes out the show for this week. Of course, want to thank our wonderful website hosting partner, Fun.io, for doing all the great stuff that they do for us, for hosting our website, girlsongames.ca. If you're looking for something large like VPS hosting, and like Catherine mentioned last week, they actually got some new plans and stuff. So if you're doing some big e-commerce site or whatever, go check them out. As well as if you want to start a WordPress blog and start your own video game thing, you should go check them out. That's Fun.io.com. What's going on the website, Catherine? I saw a few articles pop up.
Yes, I did an article, 6 Reasons Forza Horizon 4 is the Best One Yet. I gave my full impressions on the podcast. I made a little article summing up the new stuff that I think makes Forza Horizon 3, which was already a great game, even better in this iteration. So check it out. And I've got screenshots of all my crazy cars that I paint, all the fancy colors with.
Favorite one is the look of disapproval.
Yes.
Look of Disapproval is back. I saved that from my previous saves. And I'm sticking it on. I stuck it on the WRX thinking of you. Oh. It's on the back there. But yeah, so check it out. And we also have previous reviews, Spider-Man, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, lots of stuff that we reviewed. So if you're looking at your backlog, not knowing what to play, check it out. And yeah. girlsongames.ca.
Great. So I want to thank, of course, all the folks for being around the digital table. Give you guys a chance to shout out your social media handle so people can go follow you. I know a lot of you are going to be talking about the games you're playing. And of course, photo mode is a great, great thing. So Catherine, you go first.
You can follow me, CSDBien, CSDSBINS, Twitter, Instagram. I got a new phone, so expect a lot of new photos of shit around me.
Oh my God. She took a cute picture of her boyfriend and her cat this morning, and I want to cry. It's so beautiful.
I'm not posting that one online, but I will send it to you,
send
Simon.
It to me. Yes.
So you, whenever you feel sad, you can look at Pascal and be like, that's my boyfriend.
It is. He is, though.
How about you, Ellie?
You can find me as 8-Bit Blonde everywhere on the internet, including Twitter, Mixer, and Xbox.
Great. And Simon?
I am 40_GG on everything.
Great. I'm Leah Jew, our most social media platforms, but of course, if you know, not yet on PlayStation. But that's coming. And GOG Leah on Mixer and Xbox Live. But if you want to track Girls on Games down, you can do so at The Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook. We're just Girls on Games on Instagram. And I'm really starting to like using the stories on Instagram. So
do the thing.
Keep an eyeball out for that. As well, if you'd like to continue this lovely conversation and more, you can do so on our Discord channel. That's discord.me/girls on games. But of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can find us at our home base. That's our website, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Simon. It's been a lovely week in video games, and I'm off to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.